Lecrae is a Christian rapper, or he has a CD, and he says these words: Life is like an elevator. A lot of ups and downs, people pushing your buttons and getting jerked around. Life is like an elevator. A lot of ups and downs, people pushing your buttons and getting jerked around. There's a lot of truth to that, because I think we go through a lot of ups and downs in our own lives, in our own walk with God. You see, we have what I like to call mountaintop experiences. Everything is going well over there. I mean, things are good. Bills are paid on time. I mean, nobody's hunting me down. Praise God. But then the next day, you're in the valley, and like, your car broke down. Like, you know, I mean, everything. They're telling you need to pay. They might even let you go of your job. And it's like, life is like an elevator, ups and downs, and so many things. And at work, you deal with people, and they're just pushing your buttons. And it's like, at one time, you just say, I just had enough. Perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps you've been there. Because if you have not, you will. I just want to be real with you. We're all going to go through those moments. Moments at times that we get discouraged, to the time that we feel burned out. It is during those times that you and I might be tempted to even think that God has forsaken us. That Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? Because I didn't think that I was supposed to be going through these trials that I'm going through right now. I can say, if that's you this morning, I have a word from the Lord for you. And we're going to be spending some time in 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. God, Yahweh, will help you and I with our discouragement, with our down moments, or low moments in our lives. You see, one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, if you are a Bible student this morning, you know Elijah. Elijah, Yahweh is my God. That's what the name means. Elijah was, I think if I were to rate all the prophets, in my estimation, I would put Elijah on number one, and then Isaiah, Ezekiel. I mean, I would go like that. That was just me. I mean, Elijah is like an amazing prophet. I mean, do you even know that he did not even die? God just took him. You know, I mean, he did not experience death. Elijah is such a... Now, but James says that Elijah was just like us. You know, just like a regular guy, like you and I. But Elijah, I mean, he was just... When you go to... You talk about his life, he prayed one time. He told the king there was going to be a drought for 3.5 years, and it happened. Because if Elijah said it, guess what? Things happen. It's almost like Elijah was so close to God, whatever Elijah wanted, God would just give it to him. One time in chapter 18, Elijah is confronted with 450 prophets of Baal, or Baal. So Baal is a fertility god that the Canaanites used to worship. And so they have people worshiping this deity, this statue. And Elijah, he feels, I'm all by myself here. So Elijah challenged the people, because he had it with the nation of Israel. One time he says to the nation of Israel, stop being wavering between two options, two opinions. If Yahweh is God, worship Yahweh. But if Baal is God, worship Baal. So stop being between two worlds. You make a choice today. He told the nation of Israel, that's Elijah for you. So, and then he finally told the people, the prophets of Baal, you know, today, let's find out who the true God is. The God who answers with fire, let him be the true God. You build an altar and you praise to Baal. I'm going to build an altar and pray to Yahweh. And everybody, I mean, the whole nation is gathered. And the God who answers with fire today, may he be God. So Baal, you know, all the people, the prophets, 450 versus 1. Statistically, you know, that's not going to happen. So Baal, they prepare the altar, the wood, they put a bull, a slaughtered bull on top of the altar, and they were praying to Baal. Nothing happened. And then Elijah began to make fun of them. Oh, maybe Baal's sleeping. Call louder. Maybe, you know, maybe he went to run some errands. You know, Elijah was just like, oops. And then Baal people began to cut themselves, like asking, you know, Baal to answer with fire, but nothing happens. Then, okay, Elijah, it was his turn. Then he said, okay, he prepared the altar, the wood and the bull on top of the altar. And then he poured water on it. And they said, do it again. One more time. They poured water on that. And then he said, God, he prayed to God for fire. And guess what happened? Fire came from the mouth of God and consumed the altar and drenched the water, everything. And then finally people realized Yahweh is God. And you know what Elijah did to all those prophets? He slaughtered them. Don't mess with Elijah, man. That's the man we're talking about. He slaughtered the prophets with his sword because he said, you're responsible to teach Israel idolatry. And he eliminated all those people all by himself. Mountaintop experience. That's the ups of Elijah. But if we know Elijah was like us, what happened? I mean, just read the next chapter, because when you read it, it appears to me that that's like a different man. In chapter 19, Elijah gets threatened by a woman. And he runs away, afraid. I don't get it. So let's just read in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Now Ahab was the king, and then it says, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. 1 Kings, hopefully you got it in your Bibles, if not in your phones and gadgets right there. So Ahab told Jezebel, I mean, that's Jezebel, it's all through the Bible. She was really bad. I mean, we're talking about this lady. It was almost like, that's another one you don't want to mess with. There was some people in a church in Revelation that some lady, she said that she had the spirit of Jezebel. So some of us like, what does that look like? So, well, she made Elijah run. I mean, Elijah just called out fire from God to kill prophets. And this woman said, oh, you know, Elijah, that's what you did to those prophets. Tomorrow, by this time, you're dead. And he runs away. I don't know about you. I don't get it. I mean, you pray for rain and it rains. You pray for the rain to stop and stop. You pray for God to call fire and it happens. She says she's going to kill you and you're trembling. That's Elijah for you. So you see, reading, Ahab told Jezebel, and then what Elijah had done, how he killed the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me be ever so severely if by tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. If by tomorrow you're not dead, may the gods punish me. That's what Jezebel told Elijah. Then check out verse 3. Elijah was afraid. I mean, you see, Elijah's the kind of guy, when you read his biography, it's almost like he's the kind of guy that he's not afraid of nothing. He's not afraid of anything. But like you see, life is like an elevator. A lot of ups, and now we got Elijah in the down. I mean, Elijah was not just afraid. He became depressed. Now, for some people, sometimes they go to church, and when they say, that preacher or somebody, he must not be anointed, because what happened to him now? Newsflash. Look at Elijah. I mean, you think he was anointed. Look at how God responded. But look at him now. Because something happened in his life, and perhaps he forgot who he was. So he ran. He says, Elijah, you know, he became afraid. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. That just doesn't sound right. I mean, when you think about Elijah. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He did not want to be with anybody. He's a fugitive. The queen wants to kill him. He's hiding. So he went to the broom tree, sat down under, and prayed that he might die. Elijah became suicidal. And maybe that's you, one time or another. Even though you're a child of God, one time you say, Lord, I just had enough. Just take my life. That's Elijah for you. He got so depressed. I mean, you know, at one time because, you know, it's like, what's going on, Lord? I mean, just the previous chapter, fire comes down from heaven because Elijah called fire and happens. Now, chapter 19, he's running away. He's running for his life because Jezebel wants to kill him. And then, thank God he did not commit suicide himself, but he asked God, take my life. I'm not better than any other prophets. Take me. I had enough. Maybe that's been your prayer. At one time or another in your life. And if you've been there, I have news for you. Just wait. Just wait. See what happens to Elijah. Because you see, at that moment, he thought he had enough. Like many of us. At times, like, Lord, what are you doing? Just take my life. I'd be better. Enough. He says, take my life. I'm no better than any of my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. You know how it is sometimes when you get so depressed, you don't want to do anything but sleep, stay home, don't want to be with people. I mean, that just, you know, that was Elijah. So maybe you never heard about that side of the story of Elijah. So he fell asleep, but, you know, the news that I have for you this morning is that Even when he was in his lowest, God's still there. Even when you go through the lowest moments in your life, God sees, God knows what you're going through, and he's still not done with you yet, even though you think that you had enough. Elijah fell asleep. God shows up to wake him up. Let's just read and say, verse 5, then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. At once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. God wakes him up and cooked him, if it wasn't a morning breakfast, or you know, there was a meal ready for Elijah right there. As he's running away, remember, there's nobody around. He's in the desert. An angel of the Lord, God comes. God always provides, even in those lowest moments of our lives. And you see that in Elijah. Get up and eat. And of course, what does Elijah do? He eats and goes back to sleep. I got up to eat and just go, you know, I ate. I go back to sleep. That's all he wanted to do. So he fell back to sleep, and the angel had to come a second time to wake him up. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, verse 7, and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, or Sinai, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night there. Get up and eat, because the journey that's expecting you is great for you. Elijah, you're not done yet. You know, God still has something for you to do. Get up and eat, be strengthened. And now, that was some kind of food, because he was strengthened by that meal 40 days and 40 nights. That's how you know it's God really providing, because there's no other way, whether you go organic or not, that you'll eat one meal and then you're going to go 40 days without eating. Are you with me? So that's how you know that God really just in charge of what's going on with Elijah. He's not seeing it yet. I mean, hello, an angel woke you up and you go back to sleep? Well, you're depressed. Remember, he's suicidal. Get up and eat, your journey. Hey, come on. So he goes, and Elijah goes to the mountain of God. Finally, he made it to a place where he can really refocus and recalibrate his vision about what's going on in his life. He goes to the mountain of God. That's the same mountain that Moses went to get the tablets, the Ten Commandments. And the mountain, I mean, when you talk about the Old Testament, that mountain represented what we talk about through the songs today, the presence of God. Finally, Elijah finds himself in the presence of God. Moses was there. You know, when he received the tablets, the Israelites were trembling because God showed up in the mountains with trembling, earthquake, and smoke. And they did not want that part of the worship service when they saw. And they told Moses, you talk to God, because this is so intimidating. Elijah now finds himself in the mountain. What does he do? You will go to the presence of God. You will go to the mountain to seek the Lord. What did he do? He went to high. Let me just translate that for you. That's like going to church, seeking the Lord, and you fall asleep through the service. Have you ever done that? Some people have. You know, like we go to church trying to seek the Lord and like we just go to sleep. Elijah went to the mountain where you will really meet with God. And what does he do? He go into a cave to hide. It says he lodged there, perhaps to sleep, because we already seen the pattern. He just eats and sleep, eat and sleep. He already full, so sleep now. And finally, now God's going to talk to Elijah. You came to my mountain. Now we're going to have a conversation here. So God speaks to Elijah. Verse 9 says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? It's interesting. I want to write a book one day about when God questioned people. So some of the Adam and Eve, where are you? Elijah, what are you doing here? Isaiah, where were you when I created the foundations of the earth? So there's so many questions that God asks, and some of those are easy to answer, but some of the ones like, so this one, Elijah knew exactly what he needed to tell God. What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, it's not a theological question thinking that, did God really know Elijah was there? I mean, he knows everything. When he asks you a question, he expects you to answer him. When Adam and Eve, like, do you think God didn't know that they just committed, that they ate of the tree? When God said, where are you? It was like, what happened to our relationship, man? Elijah, give me an explanation. What you came here to do today? Like, if God showed up to church, what are you doing here today? You came to praise the Lord or just waiting for a text to show up and to show up in your phone? I mean, what are you doing here, Elijah? Yahweh said. And Elijah responds. You know, and check out his response, because he's so depressed. He's just like, you know, he feels sorry about himself. Perhaps you've been there too. Like, everybody's against me today. You know, we all been there. That's all. And then God answered. God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? This is what he says. Verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I've been jealous for you, Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. And I am the only one left. And now they try to kill me too. That's what I'm doing here, Lord. Everybody's against me. That's why I want you to take me. I don't want to deal with this life anymore. The Israelites have rejected your covenants. They have killed your prophets. And now they're looking for me to kill me. You see what's going on? That's the question. God said, what are you doing here? And Elijah just gave God a mouthful. You know, just like, what's going on? But yeah, you and I should do the same too. When God asks you a question, just tell him what it is that's going on in your life. He knows already. This is what the Lord told Elijah. Go out and stand on the mountain. And stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. My friends, this is what I get from, if you don't get anything from this message, this is what you and I need to get right now. When we experience the low moments, turmoils, tribulations, you and I need to spend some time in the presence of God. You and I need to go into the, Elijah went to the mountain, and the Lord said, when he asked, what are you doing here? Oh, I've been very zealous of the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have torn down your altars. They have killed your prophets. And now they're looking for my life to kill me. God said, Elijah, go out. Stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, because I'm about to go by. When you and I go through moments in our lives, it's time for you and I to go into the presence of God, to spend time with him, to see things from a different perspective. So Elijah was going to do that. He was going to get ready, get out of the cave where he was at, to go see, to meet with the Lord. Now, some things happened. God displayed his power while Elijah was there. It says that there was a powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattering the rocks. I mean, that's not even a hurricane. I mean, a wind that would just tear the rocks apart. And it says that, but the Lord was not in the wind. And there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper or a gentle sound. When Elijah heard it, he pulled a cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. It was through the gentle whisper that Elijah recognized, now this is God. Now, it's interesting. A really strong wind, an earthquake, and fire. It goes back to what Elijah actually did. That's very much his ministry. Remember, we just talked about he just called fire from heaven. Elijah was the kind of man that his message was like a wind breaking things apart. It was like an earthquake coming through. And then finally we saw the fire. So God showed him, you see, yeah, up to this point you've been able to do those things, Elijah, because I've been with you. But now it's going to be different. Your ministry is going to change. It's about to change now. Almost in the way of a gentle whisper. So Elijah, I mean, there's an earthquake. He realized, God's not here. There's the fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And all of a sudden, Elijah recognized God through the gentle whisper. My friends, you and I will never be able to recognize God until we spend time in his presence. Because there's so many things shouting around and so many earthquakes and fires and things and many voices. And we don't even know how to distinguish God's voice from the voice of the enemy. And it's because he was there, he realized, he got ready to meet God when he heard the gentle whisper. God came. You see, God can come and manifest himself in so many ways. It's not just through the loud. Hey! You know, like some preachers sometimes think that they always have to shout. I mean, I got a guy one time told me that, you know, I want to preach with power. Apparently the power is being loud. And I said, I'd rather preach gentle, being empowered by the Spirit. You know, and so Elijah's message at one time was like that. I mean, you saw chapter 18, fire from, I mean, powerful things. But now God shows up to him in a gentle whisper, in a gentle sound. After all the chaos and turmoil, now it's like, there's God. And he comes out to meet with the Lord. And God speaks with Elijah. Go out, stand on the mountain, the presence of the Lord. He did. You see, this is the recipe when you and I feel discouraged or hopeless. we had to go out and stand in the presence of the Lord. When you're anxious about life, go out and stand in the presence of the Lord. When you're ready to quit, to give up, for whatever reason, spend time in the presence of the Lord, because He will recalculate your vision. He will recalculate your life and revolutionize your life if you spend time in His presence. That's what happens when you spend time in the presence of God. That's one of the greatest things of Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Jesus showed up one time in Bethany, and Martha was preoccupied with everything else because Jesus just came to town. I got to get ready. But the Bible says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said these words. She had chosen what's best, spending time in the presence of the Lord. I mean, great things will happen when you and I spend time in His presence. Elijah met with the Lord, and the Lord told him, this is what God said to Elijah. Again, this is a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Twice, God. What are you doing here, Elijah? And then he has the same answer. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have torn down your altars. They have killed your prophets with a sword, and now they're looking for me to kill me. That's what I'm doing here, Lord. And then God now is going to tell Elijah what God wants him to do. This is what the Lord said. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Elijah, you're running away from that woman. Go back the way you came. Now, you and I dealing with God, we have a tough time understanding this thing. That sometimes God said, that thing that you're running away, God said, go back where you're coming from. Moses killed somebody in Egypt, and he did not want to go back to Egypt. What did God tell him to do? Go back. Elijah, you're coming, running away. You're hiding in this cave because you're running away from Jezebel. Go back the way you came. Perhaps that's not the prayer he wanted to hear. Like many of us, like, Lord, but I thought you were going to say something else, because at times we want God to answer the prayer the way we want it, don't we? We're praying for His will, but really it's like, I like this one better, Lord. I mean, honestly, you know what I mean? We all have done that. We pray for His will, but when the will doesn't match our will, we're just like, oh, Lord, it wasn't the Lord who told me. Like, we don't even want to listen to Him. I mean, imagine that Elijah depressed because he don't want to deal with that past, with that lady Jezebel back there, and exactly that's what the Lord said. Go back the way you came, Elijah. You're not done yet. And this is what you need to do, Elijah. He says, go back the way you came. Go into the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Jazael, king of Aram. Aram is Syria today. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. Elijah, the prophets, that's what they did. They anointed people. So you see, God saying to Elijah, you got to keep on doing your ministry, man. Go back the way you came and start anointing those people that I'm telling you. You're not quitting on me, Elijah. So he says, Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha. Elisha was the successor of Elijah. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death all who escaped the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death all who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed them. So God told Elijah, this is what I need you to do. Go, anoint those people. There were prophets in that midst, there were kings, and there was one that's going to be your successor. After you're gone, Elisha is going to take over. You got to go and anoint him. And newsflash, Elijah, your perception about, remember he says, your servants being very zealous of the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have torn down your altars. They have killed your prophets with a sword, and they're looking for me. And I'm the only one left. God just told you there were 7,000 people who have not bowed down to Baal. So Elijah, your perception was wrong. How do you know that you were wrong? Because you spent time in the presence of God. And He will recalibrate your focus. He will really make you, He will allow you to see things, the truth about things. Elijah thought, I'm the only one left. That's why he told God twice. They're looking for me to kill me. I'm the one left. I said, hey, I have 7,000 people who have not bowed down or kissed the statue of Baal. So you see, Elijah, you were wrong. But how did he find out he was wrong? Because he went to the presence of God. It is in God's presence that you get to recalibrate the vision. So you can see clearly. So you can see things through his perspective, through his eyes. It is in his presence that you get to know his will. I mean, how many times we fret about, like, we don't know God's will for our lives. And sometimes, I mean, how do you want to know his will when you don't even talk to him? Sometimes I want to tell people, you want to know what God says, but you don't even spend time with him? Maybe you expect God to show up like he showed up in Elijah. Like Elijah, we go through the mountaintop experiences and also to the low, to the valley experiences in life. Discouragement, anxiety. At times, we may feel like life is just really bad. It's really stink for us right now. Elijah found direction when he spent time in the presence of God. And my friends, my brothers and sisters, you and I, we're going to find direction when we spend time in his presence. When we don't know what else to do, spend time in his presence. Hear what he has to say. Listen to his voice. The voice might come in a gentle whisper, but if you're like preoccupied so many things running around and so many sounds, you will miss it. You will not hear what he has to say. He found direction in the presence of God. He was recalculated because he was going all over the place. And God just, Elijah found purpose in the presence of God. And you and I will find purpose in his will, in his presence too. Now, I've been talking a lot about the presence of God, but the question that perhaps you're already asking is, well, how do I spend time in the presence of God? What does that look like for me today? You know, Elijah, I mean, you can learn something from Elijah. Elijah found, you know, he found himself in the presence of God when he was in solitude, all by himself with God. Now, I know in today's society, in our country, that's hard for you and I to do because we're always busy with things. And, you know, it's almost like you're juggling so many things. Some people don't even have time for God, if I can say that. You know, when the schedule they keep, you know, it's almost like, but then you have to make a choice. What's more important, to spend time with God or just do whatever I continue to do? If I want to hear from him, then maybe I need to go into that cave with him. You know, spend time in the presence of God. That's what we call quality time with God. Where the TV is off, you're not listening to music. Oh, maybe through the music. Yes, he can talk through our music, but how about just being quiet and listen to what he has to say? Yeah, he can talk through our music or through things, but how about now you and God, just the two of you? That's what people call it, even in dating, quality time. Your undivided attention, just you and God. And now you tell him, Lord, you know, I've been zealous for you. And you can tell God whatever you want because he can handle it. Lord, I just have trouble loving this man here because, you know, he just bad. Tell God whatever issues you have, whatever is like making you angry, tell him he can handle that. And then he's going to recalibrate your things to help you see, to help me see things through his eyes. So how do I spend time in the presence of God today? Let me give you some advice. If you really want to spend time in the presence of God, you had to read his word. I mean, I don't know how you're going to spend I don't know if you do anything else that if you're not reading his word, that you can really say that you are in the presence of God. He talks to us through this book. Thy word is a lamp into my feet. Like when I don't know where to look, this guides me. I always call this the GPS for life. And God's always telling us. And when we go the opposite direction, he's recalculating us. Spend time with God, especially when you are by yourself. Read the word. And not just read it, meditate on what you're reading. That's what Yahweh told Joshua. Meditate on this book day and night. Do not depart from it. And you will be successful, he told Joshua. So how do I spend time? How do I spend time in the presence of God? Solitude with him, quality time with him, in which I'm going to read his word. And I'm going to meditate on what I'm reading, but I'm going to pray too. Prayer is so vital. Jesus modeled prayer for the apostles. Statistically, we'll tell you, a lot of Christians, they're not doing any of those disciplines today. And they wonder why they never hear from God. You know, you got to be into his word to see what he's saying. You got to meditate on what you're reading and weigh and hear through prayer. So I just gave you some tips if you want to spend time in his presence because, you know, you might come to church and you might not experience his presence because your mind might be like Elijah's in somewhere else. It's in the solitude time. Jesus modeled that too. He was a busy preacher. All of a sudden, he left the people behind. He said, I got to spend time with God now. My time is right after everybody goes to bed. I usually on the TV and I realize I'm going to read now. You know, and just, I can hear, I mean, anything can happen. The house makes noises. Yeah, I can hear anything because there's nobody else but just me now. And I pray and I read. It's like, Lord, I don't know. By Wednesday, if I don't have the sermon ready, I say, Lord, I have no idea what you want me to preach about. I don't feel anything right now. And then by Wednesday night or Thursday, something comes up. So I know, like I already know what I'm going to preach next week. I'm going to do a sermon series based on building the church, spiritual gifts that God gave. That came up on one of those nights that I was just like, and sometimes something keeps me up at night. It can be struggles or something like that. Or may, you know, something will keep me up. And I just pray, Lord, allow me to sleep because this thing is really bugging me right now. You know, and then, seriously, and then be honest with God. Tell him. And through there, sometimes I have to get up. Oh, something came up, a passage. Maybe he wants me to do a sermon about that because I might not be the only one going through that right now. Maybe somebody else in the congregation needs to hear from that. We're spending time with God. You know, in college, we went to a Bible school and we treated the Bible as a textbook. And we had on Wednesday night something called focus. Because you realize you can just be so caught up in studying and learning and memorizing and you're still not spending time with God. Because you treat that as a textbook now. Oh, I got to get 100 on my test. Oh, I got to. And then we decided, you know, let's put our homework away. We put everything away, our cell phones. Let's just go to the chapel, praise the Lord through songs and hear his word uninterrupted. That's quality time with God. And guess what? When that happens and you start doing that, I guarantee you, and not like the commercial, I guarantee you that you will hear what God has to say to you. And then you're going to recalibrate your focus and everything about, like Elijah, he was able to see how God sees him. It is here in his presence that you're able to distinguish his gentle whisper, that you get to hear him clearly. I mean, how many Christians in this country and many other places, they still cannot distinguish the voice of God because there's so many other voices telling you, and you cannot know if it's really biblical or not, or if it's from the Lord or not. It's only in the presence of God that you get to tune up your ears and to really tune up your eyesight. It's like, I see it now. Being in the presence of God will, like I said, will tune up your perspective and revolutionize your life as a servant of the Lord. And that's, I mean, the theme, you can see from the beginning we start singing today, your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. I mean, that's what we're saying. And so how many of us sometimes we are aware, like you go to a place and you realize, God is here. Jacob, the deceiver that became Israel, he went one time, he was sleeping like Elijah. He was like that, running from his brother. He came to a place called Bethel, house of God. And then he had this thing. And you know, at the end of the day, you know what he says? The Lord is in this place, and I did not even know it. How many of us are like that? God just showed up, and I was not even aware. God is in this place, and I did not even know it. And he called that Bethel, the house of God, house of prayer. So it is in his presence that you and I want to be able to withstand despair, anxiety, depression. He will give you the cure right there when you talk to him. Bring all the burdens to him. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdening over, you know, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because I'm gentle and humble at heart. But how does that happen? It's when I'm willing to just go into your presence and hear what you had to say to help me with my struggles, to recalibrate my vision, because I see things through my perspective. Like this man says, the quote probably you read it already. He says, anxiety happens when we shift the burdens of everything else and put it on us, thinking that everything depends on us, instead of just leaving them to God. Gary Collins says that, and I think you already saw the quote right there. But that's what sometimes what happens when we just don't know what to do, is because maybe you and I just need to learn to spend some time in his presence, quality time with the Lord, and life will be better when you come out of his presence. To conclude, the praise team can make his way. That was not in the sermon. It just happened to me. It just came right now. And I just want to give it to you. I always loved Moses. When he went to the mountain to meet with God, you know what happened to him? His face came back shining. He had to put a veil. I mean, it was obvious that he spent time with God. And that's my prayer. I want to be like Moses. That when people look at me, what my ministry might think, they realize, man, this man is spending time with God because of what he's doing. I mean, Moses had to cover his face because he was spending so much time in the presence of God that he came out glowing. I hope that's my prayer for you and I, that you spend so much time in the presence of God that it's evident. Everybody will see it. And, you know, he had to just go back into the Israelites and cover because they could not even look at Moses. So much time in the presence of the Lord. And I would say, I want that to be my prayer, that I'm saturated by his presence, that it's evident in everything I do. Everywhere I go, that people say, man, that man is a man of God. And not because, you know, I'm a preacher, no, but because they can see that there's something about the Lord in me that is through his presence working through me and through you, your presence, Lord. That's how we get rid of all depression, anxiety, and turmoil.